Welcome to SCOTUS Cast, Pregnancy Discrimination and Employment Accommodation Edition. Thank you for tuning in. On March 25th, 2015, the Supreme Court issued its decision in Young v. United Parcel Service. This case concerns whether the Pregnancy Discrimination Act requires an employer that provides work accommodations to employees who are not pregnant but have work limitations to provide similar accommodations to pregnant employees who share similar abilities and limitations. The U.S. Court of Appeals for the Fourth Circuit affirmed a grant of summary judgment in favor of the employer, agreeing that there was no genuine issue of material fact and that the employer was entitled to judgment as a matter of law. By a vote of 6-3, the Supreme Court vacated the Fourth Circuit's judgment and remanded the case for further proceedings. Viewing the record in the light most favorable to the pregnant employee, the court stated that there is a genuine dispute as to a material fact, whether UPS provided more favorable treatment to at least some employees whose situation cannot reasonably be distinguished from that of the pregnant employee. The court left open for resolution on remand, however, whether a genuine dispute of fact had been raised on the reasons UPS gave for treating the pregnant employee differently, and whether they were simply a pretext for unlawful discrimination. Justice Breyer delivered the opinion of the court, which Chief Justice Roberts and Justices Ginsburg, Sotomayor, and Kagan joined. Justice Alito filed an opinion concurring in the judgment. Justice Scalia filed a dissenting opinion, which Justices Kennedy and Thomas joined. Justice Kennedy also filed a dissenting opinion. To discuss the case, we have Teresa Collette, who is a professor of law at the University of St. Thomas School of Law. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Professor Collette.
On March 25, 2015, the United States Supreme Court handed down its opinion in Young v. United Parcel Service. This case involved an interpretation of the Pregnancy Discrimination Act, which was added to the Civil Rights Act of 1964. It differs from the Americans with Disabilities Act in that it is intended to address discrimination, does not explicitly require accommodation, but merely that women who are pregnant be treated the same as other persons not so affected by pregnancy, but similar in their ability or inability to work. The plaintiff in the case was Peggy Young. She was a part-time worker for the United Postal Service. After multiple attempts to become pregnant, when she finally succeeded, she asked UPS to allow her to alter her route so that she would not be required to deliver packages that were more than 20 pounds. This was based upon a note from her doctor that indicated lifting packages above 20 pounds might imperil her ability to continue the pregnancy. United Parcel Service, however, as a requirement of the job, required all drivers to be able to lift up to 70 pounds. At the trial court, the plaintiff showed that very few of the packages she actually delivered exceeded 20 pounds, since her route was comprised of going to the airport early in the morning and delivering the various packages that arrived late at night. These were typically business packages, and it was undisputed at the trial court level that, in fact, the vast majority of the packages that Peggy Young's route involved were less than 20 pounds. Nonetheless, United Postal Service declined to alter her route or to change her responsibilities, stating that their policy was to provide accommodations only in three cases. The first was when an employee had been injured on the job. Peggy Young clearly did not become pregnant as a product of an injury on the job. Second was when the accommodation was required under the Americans with Disabilities Act. The Americans with Disabilities Act does not include pregnancy as a disability, a fact that some is divided over during debates over the legislation itself. And then finally, the third was that UPS accommodated for was circumstances where the driver had a temporary loss of the federal driving license that allowed them to continue in that job. Because UPS saw Peggy Young's request as something outside the norm, they declined to make any accommodation. She subsequently sued after successfully completing her pregnancy, claiming that the company had violated the Pregnancy Discrimination Act by its refusal to treat her similar to someone who had been injured on the job and thus unable to lift more than 20 pounds. The company responded that it wasn't the nature of the ability to lift that was an issue, but the nature of the reason the accommodation was required. And UPS had won, both at the trial court and at the Intermediate Court of Appeals. The United States Supreme Court granted cert after consulting with the Solicitor General of the United States, who had argued that this case should not be accepted simply because the EEOC was drafting new regulations that would, in fact, result in a different outcome for women like Peggy Young. The court, however, thought the case was important enough that they would go ahead and reach the questions that were presented. In the opinion, it's clear that the court was persuaded by neither party. Justice Breyer, writing for the majority, said that the Pregnancy Discrimination Act clearly intended to create a standard different than animus, which was essentially the argument of UPS, that absent of showing that UPS had declined to accommodate Peggy Young because she was pregnant, that there was no requirement to make any accommodation under the Pregnancy Discrimination Act. That, of course, is the first prong of the Pregnancy Discrimination Act. And where a plaintiff can show that their employer specifically declined to accommodate them because of pregnancy or acted in a way to their disadvantage because of their pregnancy, clearly there would be liability under the Pregnancy Discrimination Act. But there's a second provision under the Pregnancy Discrimination Act that requires that an employer treat a woman that is pregnant in the same way that they treat other employees who, independent of their pregnancy, have a similar ability or inability to work. The actual legal battle was what was the right group to compare Peggy Young to. Was it employees whose ability to work was limited to lifting packages 20 pounds or below that were accommodated because of the nature of or the manner in which their limitation arose, injured on the job, the ADA accommodation requirement? Or, as UPS argued, was it because, was the proper comparator all of the other employees who were unable to lift 20 pounds or more because of other circumstances? Say the individual who was injured in a Saturday softball league and could not lift, which UPS would not accommodate. The majority of the court held that the interpretation that there was no difference between accommodation required under the first section of the Pregnancy Discrimination Act and the second section of the Discrimination Act was clearly inconsistent with the text. It also, however, rejected Peggy Young's argument that if any worker that had a similar ability or inability to work was accommodated, that a pregnant woman must be accommodated. The court characterized this, in the words of Justice Scalia from oral argument, as a most favored nation status. And the court doubted that that was what Congress intended to create. Instead, the court said that the proper analysis was to place this case under the McDonnell-Douglas framework, where a pregnant worker could have the ability to show disparate treatment through indirect evidence. This places the Pregnancy Discrimination Act well within the normal civil rights employment discrimination analysis, but also provided Peggy Young the opportunity to go back and prove her case, something that had not been allowed in this particular instance. Therefore, Justice Breyer chose a middle path between that of the plaintiff, which would have presumed that any accommodation for a similar inability or inability to work would automatically require pregnant women be accommodated, and UPS's position that there simply was no difference between the discrimination evidenced in Section 1 and a refusal to accommodate. The majority simply says that this case is no different than other discrimination cases. Yet, there may be something slightly different. More exceptions that the employers are granted for those similarly situated, the more it will give rise to a pregnant woman has a claim. In other words, the more an employer goes beyond ADA accommodations in their practices, the more likely the woman is able to prove that whatever explanation is being offered for the refusal to accommodate her due to her pregnancy is a mere pretext and would give rise to an inference of discrimination. In this particular case, United Parcel Service had three categories for accommodations: ADA disability, on-the-job injury, or loss of the Department of Transportation license. Had there been a fourth category, it seems that, under the majority opinion, the Peggy Young would have been very likely to be able to prove that this was a case that violated the Pregnancy Discrimination Act. The standard that the court seems to adopt, it does not give us a clear yes, you must accommodate, or no, you needn't accommodate, but it seems to be fairly consistent with other Title VII pretext cases. The other question that the court seems to address is whether or not the disability that the woman is experiencing might be covered by ADA. And we know that there are certain circumstances that some women encounter as a product of being pregnant that clearly would fall under an ADA accommodation. For example, a woman who experiences preeclampsia would clearly be accommodated under the ADA, independent of the Pregnancy Discrimination Act. One of the real questions that remains, however, is how this will be implemented. It's interesting to note that the United Parcel Service, even prior to handing down of this opinion, had already changed their policy to assure that workers like Peggy Young would be accommodated in the future. This seems only sensible given that they had that accommodation already in their practice for women in management. How many other employers will make a similar accommodation, either due to market forces in order to compete effectively for employees or because it just seems to be the right thing, remains something to be seen. But it does seem that for today, the Supreme Court, in this opinion, extends greater protection for women than existed under the interpretation that UPS was offering, but not as much as Peggy Young had hoped for. In this instance, the outcome seems to be a carefully nuanced statutory interpretation that may result in action on the part of Congress. There already is legislation pending that would require the proper comparator to be any other accommodation. But we'll have to wait and see whether that legislative act gets passed by both houses.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUSCast. For more episodes of SCOTUSCast, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at www.federalistsociety.org/multimedia.